Rebecca was playing the trumpet in a school program. And I was impressed with how hard they tried to never say Christmas and to never play any of the Christmas hymns. And again, we attended an event for Linda's work last night, and I was so dismayed with how hard they worked never to say the word Christmas, never to mention anything about the Christ, who is the real meaning for the season. And if someone came here from another planet and observed how we as a society pass the holiday, we would somehow think that this nation worships the God of materialism and not Jesus the Christ. If you have a Bible this morning, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. As you're turning there, I want to just make mention that on December 17th, 1903, Orville and Wilbur Wright made their first flight of an airplane at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. On their fifth attempt, the plane, under the control of Orville, embarked on a 12-second flight. That was history-making. It was unprecedented in the history of man. Wilbur rushed to the local telegraph office and sent the following message: "We have flown for 12 seconds. We will be home for Christmas." Upon receiving the telegram, their sister Catherine went to the newspaper office and told the editor of her brother's new flying machine and informed him that they would be home for Christmas if he would like to set up an interview with them. He told her that that was real nice and he would be sure to put something in the paper regarding the boys. And on December 19th, the local paper placed the following headline on the sixth page of the paper: "The Wright brothers to be home for Christmas." The most important story of the year was man's first flight, and the editor missed it. I wonder if the same could be said about us when it comes to Christmas. The tree is up, the house is decorated, the gifts are wrapped, but have we forgotten the most important part? Jesus. I'm afraid that Christianity, like society, is far too taken with all of the extraneous celebratory things that accompany Christmas. And we are much too willing to stand in long lines at the mall for hours and grow weary of time in the house of the Lord. We quickly tire of spiritual things, but seem to be able to listen to Christmas music unendingly and participate in all of the standard celebration over and over again. Today, I bring you a message titled "The Unspeakable Gift." And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 15, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." May we pray together? Our Father, today as we consider Your Word, I pray that You would move us in our hearts to once again reflect anew and afresh over the gift of Christmas. And Lord, I pray that if our hearts have grown indifferent, that today by Thy Spirit, You would prick our hearts and make them sensitive again. And Lord, if there be one here today that has never yet received that gift so great it is unspeakable, that today would be the day that they receive it forever. For this we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I think that sometimes we try to put in finite terms a message that is so infinite and so wonderful, but words seem inadequate at times to accurately depict what Christ has done for us. The Bible calls the gift that God gave us unspeakable. There are not words sufficient that we can speak that would adequately express. I think about a song that our choir has sung, There's No Other Word for Grace But Amazing. And in that song, they say, why it does not describe the wonder of snowfall. It's like someone trying to describe what it's like the first time you eat an ice cream sundae, and what they try to use to describe it is that it was cold, like as if somehow that's going to accurately give someone the understanding of what it is to eat an ice cream sundae for the first time. But for man to, in his own terms, try to somehow express what God did by coming to earth, being wrapped in a robe of flesh, it's just unspeakable. Words fail us. But since words are what we have to communicate, and God has given us His Word, we will discuss this thing that God says is unspeakable. That which I'm referring to is the gift that came at Christmas. The gift is unspeakable, number one, because of what it is. Because of what it is. Now, I have to tell you that there have been many times when I've tried to be pretty clever in the way that I gave gifts. Now, I don't know about any of you, but when there are gifts under the tree, when nobody's looking, sometimes I'll go over and I'll shake the box. Don't tell. All right? Sometimes I'll go over and I'll press the paper down and hold it up to the light to see if I can see through the thin paper what it may be. And I know that there are people that live at my house that do that too. And so sometimes what I'll do is I'll buy a little gift and I'll put it in a great big old box. And I'll fill that box full of newspaper. And they think, man, I'm getting this big old honking gift. And then it's in a little box like this in the middle of the box. Sometimes some of you do that too, just to torment the people that live at your house. Don't you? And you use duct tape to wrap it up, so that it takes them a half hour to unwrap it. They're like, what is it? You know, many times I've opened gifts and somebody put a nice gift in another box. And you open it up and you see the box, you know. And like the other day, I put a gift for a gift exchange in a gun box. It said right on there, gun box, you know. And I'm sure that the person that was opening that gift probably thought, is this really what it is? There are times where I've opened gifts and I see the box and my first question is this really what it is? Or is it just in this box? I'm not mean. I'm nice. Just ask my mother. She'll tell you. But the gift is unspeakable because of what it is. By the way, I want to say that that gift came wrapped. It was all wrapped up in a robe of flesh. And it was none other than the gift of God. The gift of God. God Himself. What is the gift? Well, the Bible tells us what that gift is. And in Ephesians chapter 2, we find it says, "For by grace," and the word grace in the Bible means a gift. "For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." So what is it? I'll tell you, the gift of God is salvation. It is the gift of eternal life. The gift of God, Romans 6:23, is eternal life. Do you know what that is? That is salvation for you and for me. I think of what the Bible says in the book of Titus in chapter 2 about Jesus. It says, "Who gave Himself for us." He gave Himself for us. So we might think, what is this thing of salvation? Is it what it really is on its face? Yes, it really is a gift. And yes, it really is available to you. Yes, He gave Himself to redeem you from all iniquity, to save you from the consequences of your sin. What is it? It's salvation. Eternal life in heaven with God forever. You mean you're going to give this to me? It's for you. Open it. It's yours. The gift of salvation. Say, I want to ask you a question. If you died right now, are you 100% certain that you would spend forever in heaven? Or are you afraid you might go to hell? Or don't you really know? You see, that unspeakable gift is what it really is. Eternal life in heaven forever. Lord, what is it? It's an unspeakable gift. Is it really what it is? Yes, it's a gift. It's salvation. You're saved, you're redeemed from all iniquity, from the penalty and the power and the presence of sin in your life. You're free. And you have that freely. Romans chapter 5, 3 times records for us that it is a free gift. A free gift. A free gift. Lord, what is it? It's a free gift of salvation. But there's something more than that. Because the Bible tells us in John chapter 10 and verse number 10, "I am come that they might have life." That's our salvation, eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. But He didn't just say that. He said, "and that they might have it more abundantly." And so not only is the gift salvation, but here's something that's wonderful. The gift is a Savior. A Savior. He invites us into a personal relationship. And I would tell you today that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe, the One who lived and died for you, wants to spend all of eternity with you. And He said in Hebrews chapter 13, "I will never leave you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." I suppose that every person in this room today knows what it feels like to have someone walk out of their life. But the One who gave us the gift of salvation also gave us the gift of Himself, a Savior. As I was reading about the incarnation of Christ, I came across an interesting piece. And the land of Persia was once ruled by a wise and beloved Shah who cared greatly for his people and desired only what was best for them. One day he disguised himself as a poor man and went to visit the public baths. The water for the baths was heated by a furnace in the cellar, so the Shah made his way to the dark place to sit with the man who tended the fire. The two men shared the coarse food, and the Shah befriended him in his loneliness. Day after day, the ruler went to visit the man. The worker became attached to this stranger because he came where he was. One day, the Shah revealed his true identity, and he expected the man to ask him for a gift. Instead, he looked long into his leader's face and with love and wonder in his voice said, "You left your palace and your glory to sit with me in this dark place, to eat my coarse food, and to care about what happens to me. On others, you may bestow rich gifts, but to me, you have given yourself." And as we think of the gift of the Lord, it's not just a rich material gift. He has given us Himself. It's unspeakable, really, that He would do such a thing. It's unspeakable because of what it is. I want you to see that it is unspeakable, secondly, because of who we are. It is unspeakable because of who we are. And the Bible has so much to say about who we as a people are. In Isaiah chapter 64, the Bible says in verse number 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." You say, who is man? We're as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So, who are we? Why is this gift so unspeakable? I think about what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 8. What is man that thou art mindful of him, that you would consider him? We are all as an unclean thing. All the best that we have to offer is as filthy rags. And as you study the syntax and you begin to look at the lexicology of these words, what you will discover is that what the prophet Isaiah is communicating to the people of Israel is just this. When it says that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, it literally means rags that are spotted with excrement. And I, at the risk of being crude, would say that the very best that man has to offer is like used toilet paper, fit for nothing but to be flushed away. And when we see ourselves in the light that God puts on us, when we are outside of Christ, apart from Christ, it is unspeakable that the God of glory, a perfect and a holy God, would come to unrighteous man and offer him such a precious gift. The Bible tells us who we are apart from Christ, outside of Christ. And in Romans 3, we read in verse 9, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that that things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the flesh, of the law, shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Who's man? Who are we to be offered such a gift? Unrighteous. Who are we? Unworthy. Our throat is an open sepulcher. Our tongues have used deceit. The poison of asps is under our lips. Feet swift to shed innocent blood, destruction and misery. In our pathway, in the way of peace, have we not known? You see, it's unspeakable because of who it is offered to. Unworthy. Nearly every day we have people come to us for help of some kind. Yesterday, while in the office, the phone rang a few times. People asking for money, assistance with their bills, a variety of requests. And every day, nearly, we have people that come to the door wanting food. And we always try to feed the hungry with whatever means we have. Give them a bottle of cold water in Jesus' name. And give them an invitation to church and a gospel tract. And if we can, try to lead them to Christ. And that's just our standard. One day, there was a man that came to the door, and many times I'd seen him before. And in fact, he wandered around living on the streets, and he was filthy, dirty, and if he got within 10 feet of you, you would know it because you could smell him. He smelled awful, worse than most animals would smell coming out of a pig pen. And sometimes he would behave erratically, and obviously his mind was affected by years of abuse of drugs. Sometimes he would wander round and round the courtyard and act in kind of a hostile and a threatening way. And one day, after having seen these episodes on a repeated basis, he came to the door and he knocked. And he said, "I'm hungry and I would like something to eat." And the man smelled, he looked terrible. Bare-chested, barefooted, feet black, hands black. And I went into the Samaritan closet and I put together some items for him to be able to eat. And I tried to do the best I could to put together things that might constitute something of a meal for someone that didn't have the means with which to prepare one. The pop-top soups and things that were ready-made, ready to eat. And as I went out, I had a grocery sack filled with food items for him to take. And I really, in my own spirit, was thinking, I just kind of wish you'd take it and go because, man, this whole area smells pretty foul right now. And I'm sure that his presence is discouraging anyone that would want to come into the courtyard area. And so I gave him the food, and do you know what he did? He sat out in the middle of the courtyard and he started taking things one by one out and said, "I can't eat this. It's bad for me. Or I can't eat this. You can have this back. And I don't like this. You can have this back." And about half of the items that were in the bag, he sat on the ground and said, "Put these back. I don't want them." And in my spirit, I wanted to say, "They're nuts to you. If you don't want the best that I've provided you, then you go someplace else for help." And today I want to tell you something. That man is me. And that man is you. And I want you to know that our best stinks like garments spotted with excrement. And we try to bring that in. And until we see ourselves as that man, we will never comprehend how unspeakable the gift of God is. We are unworthy. Utterly, entirely unworthy. It's unspeakable. Because of what it is, it's salvation. And it's a Savior who gave Himself to us. And it is unspeakable because of who we are. That God would consider us. Thirdly, it is unspeakable because of what it cost. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 5 that it's a free gift. But even though it's free to us, it cost the Savior everything. And sometimes I think today, as we give the gospel message, we let people almost think that because this is free and it's just a gift of faith, that it's just not as valuable as it really is. And we almost soft sell and cheapen the profound gift, the unspeakable gift, salvation. Yes, it's free to me, but it costs somebody a whale of a lot. I think about a number of years ago, the Christmas before Linda and I were married, and I desperately wanted to give her a gift to show her the way that I felt about her. And at that particular period of time, I was just really strapped for cash. And I just was at a point where I thought, you know, this is going to be a hard candy Christmas for all of us. I don't know what I'm going to do. I started praying and thinking, Lord, what can I do? I just want to give a really beautiful gift. And I met a man that was a jewelry maker. And I had a gift that was given to me on my 18th birthday. It was a diamond ring. And I'd worn it almost every single day of my life for about 40 years, or for about 20 years. And it was one of my prized possessions. And I went into this particular shop, and I told the man, I said, you know, this is something that's really precious to me, and it may not be very expensive to you or worth a lot to you, but it's worth a lot to me. But I said, there's somebody special in my life that I want to give a beautiful gift to. And I'm not sure I have all the means to do it, but I'd like to see if I could use this ring as credit if you'd take it towards a gift. And he appraised it and told me what it was worth. And I put some money together with it over time, and over a few weeks I worked the whole deal out, and I got a beautiful and precious gift for Linda. And I can remember being so excited about that gift, thinking how wonderful it was going to be to give it to her. It really took my last dime, and it took those things that were precious to me, and I wrapped it up and I gave it to her. And you know what? She didn't have to do anything to get it. But that gift meant something to me, because I gave everything I had left that I thought was valuable in order to offer it to her. And really, it was more than just a gift. It was a demonstration of what was in my heart. It is an unspeakable gift because of what it cost the Lord. And I thought, how in the world can I ever express this? And as I thought about what God gave to us, I thought about the gifts that He's allowed into my life. And some things that are wonderful. And come here a minute, buddy. This is my boy, Timothy. Can you say hi, Tim? Perry, I'm going to put this on a minute. Tim? Mm-hmm. Who's daddy?
I'm your buddy.
He said, I'm your buddy. How long are we buddies for? Buddies for life, huh? Yeah. I'm your daddy, huh?
Yeah.
Who loves you?
Daddy does.
Daddy does. Who do you love? You love Daddy? You love Jesus?
Yeah.
You a little scared because everybody's looking at you? Do you know what Christmas is about?
Yeah.
What is it?
I don't know.
He's freezing up on me here. He's 2.5. And I'm not trying to exploit my son, but I just want to tell you, when I'm with him, he says, Dad, you're my buddy. We're buddies, huh, Dad? And he loves it when Daddy comes home. Every time the door opens, he comes running. Says, Dad! And he gives me a big hug, huh? Yeah. And he likes to wrestle with his dad, huh? A little bit. I want to tell you what the gift cost God. It cost Him His Son. And He sent Him away, not to go to school, but to be tortured to death. To take upon Himself sins of all mankind. I don't know how to describe that to you, because all I know is the tainted human love that I know. But I've experienced some of that unspeakable love, and I don't understand the kind of love that would say, I'll send the one that I've spent eternity with. I'll be separated from Him. And the Bible talks about the cost of this. in Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteem him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressor. It's unspeakable because of what it cost him. He paid the price for salvation. He said, I'll give you myself. I want to spend forever with unworthy people. I don't understand a love like that. To me, it is unspeakable. But that's what God offers you. An unspeakable gift. It cost him the separation with his Father to become a servant to those he created, to suffer sorrow as a man of sorrows, to endure suffering for sin, to take upon him the shame of all of our sin, and to be smitten to death. That's what this gift cost Christ. And to you, he says, this is what it is. Take it. It's all paid for. You don't have to do anything more. It's yours. Just receive it. It's unspeakable. If you died today, do you know that that unspeakable gift is yours? Are you certain that heaven is yours? It's unspeakable because of what it is. It's unspeakable because of who we are. It is unspeakable because of what it cost. And yet, despite that great cost, the Lord says, I'll give it to you as a free gift. Heavenly Father, I pray that today we would walk out of here different than we entered the building. For just a moment, Lord, may we see how priceless, how wonderful, and how truly unspeakable this gift is.